Hallelujah. I'm glad you're in the house of worship tonight. Brother Craig, I need over here just a little bit. We're going to study tonight Naboth. That's good. And I've tagged it, not for sale. You remember the story of Naboth? Do you? Okay. And sometimes teachers and ministers assume that the congregation knows the ins and outs about something, and so they just skirt over it. We should never, I'm talking to myself and any other teacher, minister, whatever, we should never assume that the congregation knows all the nuts and bolts of any story. And if they do, it's not wrong to have it rehearsed, refreshed. Because repetition helps get something in our spirit. Are y'all going to help us out tonight? I've got a passel of scripture. I debated about maybe just condensing it down to two verses. That didn't seem to be possible. So we're going to start in the 16th chapter of 1 Kings with verse number 31. And then we'll be moving toward the right in our Bible. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I don't know who will be here, who won't be here, but spread the table for those that are here so they can leave this building refreshed and inspired for the glory of God. Don't let me get in the way of what the word is. I was so mesmerized by that, dealing with that blood this afternoon. It just said, if you will encourage the people to put value on the blood of Jesus Christ, miracles would take place as a result of that. Chapter 16, do you have it open? Verse number 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, talking about Ahab now, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. The king of Israel served Baal and worshipped him. Oh, boy. It's not the dropouts that plague me in the scope of the whole church work. It's not the dropouts. It's those that stay on the pews and worship another God. It's just as real tonight as it was in Ahab's day. He went and took a pagan woman, violating all the principles of God, to be his wife. And Jezebel does not have mascara and jingling bells and all that. That's not the danger. It's a spirit manipulation. Don't you let Jezebel get in you where you will begin to try to manipulate to gain something. Y'all don't hear a word I'm saying. He served Baal and worshiped him. I'm going to try to get in gear again here. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. He's getting darker and darker. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. How would you like to have that on your tombstone? He did more to provoke the God of... Oh, am I talking to anybody? Would you look at chapter 21? We're going to skim through a few verses and then talk to you. Verse number 1. We still got the set in our mind of Ahab, It came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, please get this in your mind, the contrast. Ahab the king, immoral, ungodly, reeking of disbelief, of rebellion. And right hard by the palace at Jezreel, there is Naboth, holy, righteous, consecrated, and refusing to be a sellout. You do not have to be exempt from society to live for God. You don't have to find a cave somewhere and go in and say, "This is, I'm going to serve God and live in this cave and be isolated from people." You can't run from sinners. You can't run from the exposure. People do all kinds of things. They move to a Christian neighborhood. Why do that? Because you're going to find just as much bickering in that as you would in Joe's pool room crowd. Am I talking to you? Naboth, let's go back to the scripture, was by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs." Do you get the meaning of that? Does the full language there penetrate your mind? A vineyard, grapes, you reach up for them. Am I talking to you? They're not growing in the dirt. And Ahab comes in one day. This vineyard has been there for a while. And Ahab had snubbed it, paid no attention to it. But one day, the appeal, it struck him. I got so much. Do you understand? One day after all that, I want to compare tonight's lesson with the major nominal denominations and the true church. I'd rather use it than to say Pentecostal or whatever. I want to compare the parallel between the major denominations and the true church. The major denominations ignore the true church until suddenly one day they say they might have something going on. Am I talking to you? All at once they just walk by and holy rollers and tongue talkers and whatever and all that. They just walk by and ignore us. We're not big as the Southern Baptists or the United Methodists or whatever group. We're not condemning them, but we are right. We're in the same community. And for all the originating days and years of the true church, whether it's Free Will Baptist or whatever, whatever, the true church has been snubbed because we don't run with the crowd of nominal religion. We believe there is a debarkation. We believe that when you got saved, you made an exit. You still live in the same house and you still work on the same job, but your demeanor, your attitude, your conduct, your habits dramatically, radically changed. And they see the joy. We're used to you come in hungover. And now they see you suddenly. All it was, what in the world's happened to you? I got saved. You got what? I got born again. What does that mean? They're nominal churches. They've been churches for years. They've been fellowshipping. But now suddenly they say, "We want what you've got." Well, I'm glad you do. That means I've got something. So if you want what I've got, you've got to do what I did. Well, what did you do? I repented of my sin. I was born again by the Spirit of God. Oh, you mean you got all that religion stuff? Yeah. So they want it. And you know what they want to get? Oh, you know what they want to give us in place of our vineyard? Am I talking to anybody? Our vineyard, that sweet grapes. I love scuppin' on. I love any grape that don't have seed in it. They look at our vineyard. They see it's hanging fruitful. That's what vineyards do. And guess what they say? We'd like to make an exchange. Well, what are you going to give us? I'll give you my cabbage patch. I'll give you my garden, my what the language there is, I'll give you my vegetable garden. Cucumbers, onions, everything that gives you indigestion. I'll give you my cabbage patch if you give me your vineyard. The nominal church said, I will give you, hello church. Look at verse number 2 again. Give me thy that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. See the proximity of the true church and the nominal church? Hallelujah. Or I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Now, if he had one better than, or if it seemed good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Watch your scripture. Naboth said, let me fast and pray about this. Huh? Let me see if I can get leading from the Lord about it. No, he didn't. He didn't have to debate. He didn't have to argue. He didn't have to put it before the Lord. Immediately, as soon as the appeal came from Ahab, look at what Naboth said. The Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Mr. Ahab, you've got this beautiful place here, all that. You ain't getting my vineyard. He could look out his window and see that vineyard and see when he began to want that. I'm giving you a nugget now. When Ahab began to want that, then he began to be an obsession. Hello? What can I do to get it? And we'll get into that in a little bit. What can I do to manipulate it or whatever? And so, am I talking to you? Naboth said, the Lord forbid me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Hallelujah. Amen. And Ahab came into his house. Ahab is a weakling. He's a worm. He's a king, but he doesn't show kingmanship. You are not supposed to be like that. You're not supposed to be manipulated by people. You're not supposed to be jerked around and pulled. You're supposed to have some constitution about you. Let them do what they want to. You can't stop them. But make up your mind that you're going to be Naboth. You might live next door to them. Your vineyard might be next door to their castle. And they might look out and say, I'd like to have what they got. Don't give it away. Don't give up what you've got. And he went to his house heavy and displeased because of the word. I'm the king. Because the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And Ahab laid down and pouted. Isn't that right? He's a spoiled brat. He lay down upon his bed and turned away his face and said, wouldn't eat no bread. But here comes Jez. Comes marching in that door. What's the matter with my sugar bum? You're looking so sad. What's wrong? Look at the scripture, She said, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel come to the peak of her eloquence. She rose up with that manipulation. It gets in churches. It gets in families. It gets in nations. The great problem, one of the greatest things that ever destroys a church is the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, now listen, Ahab, doest thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry, because Jezebel is at hand. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Am I talking to y'all? Look at verse number 14. Let me, for the sake of time, just tell you. She said, call a festival. Look at your scriptures. Let's just skim it real quick. Verse number 8, she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal to the elders of the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. Proclaim a fast, set him on high. Set two rank ungodly men across from him so they can hear his conversation. And then let them blurt out, you blaspheme God and the king, and carry him out and stone him that he may die. So she got her party together to do that. They proclaimed a fast, verse number 12, set Naboth. You be careful when people start trying to set you up. Hello? Beware when all men speak well of thee. Didn't Jesus say that? I want to be liked. I want to be accepted. It'd be better not to be accepted and be true than it would be to be accepted and be a worm. So Jezebel, they sent to Jezebel and said, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up from his pouting party to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. He just don't know. When you walk in ignorance and darkness, you're going to get shocked. He don't know that he's walking, that there's blood on all that. I mean, I'm not struggling like I was last Wednesday night. Was a nightmare. My problem tonight is I got a cup full of material here and a clock racing. Somebody say, dish it out, Pastor. I can handle it. He goes down to the vineyard to take possession of it. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. God saw it. Be careful, little. How does that song go? Yeah, y'all got it. Go down and meet Ahab. See, God knows our names. He didn't say that guy or that king. He said, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel. Identification, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard. God knows where we are. Amen. He's in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess. God knows what we're doing. Is this good? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord. Listen to this judgment. The hammer is coming down. In the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? He hated Elijah. Every time he turned around doing something wrong there, boom, here comes Elijah. You hate those people that confront you. You don't like those people that, well, it looks like you picked up a few pounds. I mean, that's like, go row your boat down the stream, leave me alone. Somebody said, words don't hurt. I said, you let somebody tell you that you're looking old. I told the prayer meeting, Sister Sylvia Liverman was talking, said, I understand somebody's going to have a birthday. I said, yeah. I said, my brother's going to have one. I got a brother that's going to have a birthday. Has I found thee, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Am I talking to anybody? I keep saying that, but Look at verse number of chapter number 21. Look at verse number 14. We just did that, didn't we? Look at verse number 23. And of Jezebel, he doesn't just hold his judgment to Ahab. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. 24, him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. That's a serious thing when you influence people to do wrong. It's a wrong to do that. Okay? Are y'all following me in the scripture? Chapter 22 and verse number 34. Ahab's on the battlefield now. We talked about this last week with Jehoshaphat. He's on the battlefield. He's disguised because he's afraid. He's a weak man. 22 years he ruined Israel. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel, Ahab, between the joints of the harness, where he cried unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And let's skip down to verse 37. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. May God touch his... let me just go... I'm going to dump the whole truckload on you. Chapter 9 of 2 Kings. And then I won't... Because in case y'all hadn't noticed that I've been making comments trying to... I guess you call it preaching, speeches, preaching. Chapter 9 and verse number 30. When Jehu was come to Jezreel... Jehu's now the king. He's been anointed to be the king. Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face, tired her head, and looked out with them long eyelashes, and looked out at the window. And as she thought she could distract, you hear me? She thought she could distract the attention, the focus. She knew what was coming. She knew that judgment was coming down her alley. And so she does everything she can to distract it. But Jehu entered in at the gate, and she said, has Zimri peace, who slew his master? He lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. They threw her down, and some of her blood sprinkled on the wall and on the horses. And he trod her underfoot. When he was come in, he did eat and drink. This is Jehu. And said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. Listen now. They went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. The dogs would not touch a skull that was full of in darkness and wretchedness as hers was. The dog left her hands alone because they were involved in stain and wrong and ungodliness. And her feet was showing the walk that she had been doing. Have y'all followed all that? Someone said that everybody's got a price. And that's a loose saying. That may be true in the secular realm, but in the spiritual realm it should never be true. Because there's people, and Naboth's story is about not being for sale. Digging down. Naboth, as far as we know of, listen to me carefully. As far as we know of, he never performed a miracle. He never done supernatural feats. He never had attention. All we know is those few verses. He had a vineyard. He wouldn't give it away. He wouldn't sell it. He treasured it. He valued it. That's all we know about him. So he didn't do miraculous things that we know of. But he was not for sale. Now, I may never do a miracle. You may never do a miracle. I'm open for it. But that's not it. That's not the criteria of my life. Whether I'm a miracle worker or not, that's not the issue. The issue is, am I for sale? Have I secretly got a price on my head? That if somebody come by, whatever way it was, some money, whatever, and tried to purchase me? Hello? The criteria of your life is, can anybody sway you, pull you asunder? I mean, we read of Samson and the great people and personalities of the Bible. And some of them were not really all that steadfast. But Naboth goes down into the history books of spirituality as one who looked the king in the eye and said, my vineyard is not for sale. Am I talking to anybody? Naboth's story is about being not for sale, of treasuring. The reason why we are for sale is because we don't treasure what we have. The Bible talks about precious faith. Be more precious than silver or gold, which perishes. I must treasure. If I treasure what I have, this treasure is an earthen vessel. Please help me. If you don't treasure what you have, you don't care if it gets robbed. You don't care if somebody plunders it. But if you treasure what you have, and the greatest treasure that a man has is his faithfulness to God Almighty. Am I talking to you? Let it be said that he never called fire from heaven. He never opened a blind eye. He never done this. But he stuck to his gun. Let it be said he was the same today as he was 20 years ago. Change not. God is not looking for talent. God is not looking for capability. God is looking for faithfulness. 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 When you feel like it, faith. I've never had a king come to me. You've never had a king come to you, eyeball to eyeball, standing in your possession and saying, I'm not trying to rob it from you, Naboth. I'm not trying to sneak it from you illegally. No, sir, I will give you something for it. I hear them right now as they come to you and me. I'm not trying to get you to deny God. I'm not trying to get you to say there is no God. I just want you to back off from the fanaticism. I want to give you some vegetables here, a plot for your vineyard. I want us to have camaraderie. And Naboth said, I can live right next door to you. Some people are so scared of sinners. Well, if a sinner moves in my neighborhood's gone. No. Don't be afraid. No. Am I talking to you? Naboth said, I can live right next to you. That's not an issue. I can smell your coffee percolating in the morning. That's not an issue. The issue is you're not going to get my inheritance because it come from my ancestors. I inherited it. And if I sell my inheritance, I'm violating the scripture in Leviticus. He honored the word of God. Am I talking to you? Do you understand what I'm not trying to say you don't understand it, but it's so crucial to me that I want you to understand it. I want us to walk out of here tonight saying, I may not have wealth and fame. I may not have a lot of stuff, but I've got a treasure. And I know that demons have tried to get it. I know devils have tried to find the key to unlock it. I know compromise has tried to win it. But thank God tonight I still have my treasure. Am I talking? Let it be said of Philip Jethro, when that box is laid up here and somebody walks by, let it be said he died faithful. Am I talking to you? There's a critical shortage of Naboth in this generation. Do you believe that? In the face of the powerful and the persuasive, Even in the face of the manipulator Jezebel, Naboth never wavered. There was an old prophet in chapter 13. I'm just going to go ahead and backslid. And a young prophet was sent by God. And you go tell Jeroboam at the altar, he got no business offering incense. Don't you, to the young prophet, don't you come back the same way you went. You go give the message. How many remember the story? When the message is over, turn around and get out. The old backslid prophet sends word to him, I am a prophet like you are. See, if you can be swayed, you will be swayed. Everyone in this room has been tested, I guarantee you. Been baited. Been offered everything. But you're here tonight on these pews testifying by your presence that the schemes have not worked. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And the old prophet said to his son, go tell the boy to come eat lunch with us. You know the story. They eat lunch. And the old man, the old prophet said, why did you violate God? Said, now when you leave here, there's going to be a lion in the bush. There's always a, when you deviate from the truth of God, there's always a lion in the bush. That's good. That's preaching material. There's always somebody, something waiting around the curve to pounce upon you when you're unexpected. And the lion chews him, kills him. The old prophet said, we're going to go bury him. What I'm trying to say is, if the young man would have been seasoned enough to have recognized a trap and a trick, if you know that God has spoken to you about an issue, don't let anybody change your mind. Am I talking to you? So let's talk about Ahab for a minute. Ahab takes up more space in Scripture than any other worker of iniquity. Chapter after chapter after chapter deals with Ahab. He was an ungodly man. He was raised up in an ungodly home. Influence means everything. Am I talking to you? He had some good traits, but they were swallowed up by his will. He married this Phoenician woman. He knew better. God said, don't marry outside of your tribe, outside of your heritage. And he sent word, it was a marriage of convenience. I will have more influence if I'm married into that tribe, that nation. Battles will not be as severe. But what he did, when he married her, he invited her customs into Israel. I stand in that office, or sit. Young couples sit in there, stars in their eyes. They're not hearing a word I'm saying. They're not interested in what I'm saying. They just want to make the announcement that they're going to get married and they want me to do the ceremony. That's all I need it for. I don't need your counseling. They don't say that. I don't need your counseling. I don't need your advice. I don't need your whatever, your caution. I just want to get married. And you talk to them and say, marry people of the same faith. Am I right? How much tragedy would be spared? But Pastor, I just got it in my heart, I can win it. He's a gentle, he's a kind-hearted man. What do you think, he's going to be crude to you? He's wanting to marry you. He's going to be just the sweetest thing you've ever seen. Until. But do not be unequally yoked. Did the Bible say it? Don't plow an ox and an ass at the same time. Why? Because they don't walk in the same stride. It wouldn't work. There would be adversity. An infidel and a Christian, I'm not saying it's never worked. I was doing a revival. And it was a rip-snoring revival. I mean, 10:30, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, every night getting up. And this lady come to the altar. And she had children with her by staircase, five children. And they were mannerly. And she visited the revival. And on Saturday night, she got saved. She got saved. She got sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd never seen her before. Some of the people in the church knew her through relatives. She said, "My husband told me if I go to this church tonight and get wrapped up in this religion, my clothes would be on the front porch when I got home." She said, "He don't lie. He don't bluster. My clothes will be, it's wintertime, my clothes will be on the front porch when I get home." And they were. Pastor prayed, we all prayed together, prayed for the well-being. She spent the night on the porch. Her husband in the nice warm house, but he meant business. Sunday morning, she got a ride to go back to church. The children had gone into the house. They were protected. She got a ride back to church on Sunday morning, and he had a car with loud mufflers. He would turn back and forth in front of the church, announcing. And she said, "Please pray for me. I never dreamed that it would end up like this. I love him. He's the father of my children, and I want to stand by him." But that hard-hearted man, the next week in that revival, he shows up. He wanted to show up to kind of create a ruckus. But when you enter into the region of the Holy Ghost, it makes a difference. And that we saw that young man walk out of that pew, walk down that aisle, and kneel in that altar and give his life to Jesus. Surrendered to Jesus Christ. And what was unequally yoked became equally yoked. Ahab marries a forbidden Jezebel, Sidonian, pagan. And if you can just bring Jezebel into Israel, that's no big, that's, you know. But when you bring Jezebel into Israel, you're bringing her customs. You're bringing her religion, her gods. And Jezebel is not going to be a shadow girl. Do you understand that? She's going to be a headliner. She's not going to be blended, you know, she's going to be a Hillary. And she manipulated Ahab. She cast her influence over Israel and led him down the path of destruction. Am I talking to you? Ahab's spiritual adversary was Elijah. If he could have just got rid of Eli, he goes to sleep at night, and if I could just get rid of that preacher. Hello? Everywhere he went when he did something wrong, there's Elijah. And one day he noticed this vineyard. I mentioned a while ago about this. He had seen it. He'd been there all the time, but suddenly he took note of it. Y'all want me to finish? He saw how nice it was, and the more he looked at it, the more he wanted it. If I could just get that boat and motor, ride by, if I know what I could do. I can cut my tires back. Am I talking to you? Don't be intrigued by things. I read today. Where two-thirds, I'm quoting it in innocence if it's not right. Where two-thirds of the American people would be hard-strapped to be able to write a check for $2,000. That means there's a lot of people in this nation carrying plastic around. I mean, think about it. Catastrophe coming in. And I don't mean just a few. I'm talking about, they said two-thirds. Oh, well. So Naboth flatly said, "No, you're not going to have the vineyard." Do you remember Balaam? God said, do not go. Did he say it? Balaam said, I can't go. The princes of Moab, and they begin to hear a quiver in his voice. If you give me up to half of the kingdom, I can't go. They go back and talk to Balak. He's not coming. But Balak said, but he's got a price on. He's got a price. Go back and offer. He sent more eloquent princes and better gifts. And Balaam said, should I go, Lord? How many know he knew what he was supposed to do? He already knew he wasn't supposed to go. But God got angry with him, and God said, go. But you say only what I say. And then, to make it really, really something, he come into a narrow passage, and the donkey stopped. The donkey had more sense than Balaam did. He could see what Balaam couldn't see. Balaam couldn't see the angel of the Lord standing there. And here's what really intrigues me. He beat the donkey, and the donkey said, what's up? What are you hitting me for? Have I ever done anything to me? And it doesn't, here's what gets me. It does not show that Balaam was even shocked when the donkey talked. If it had been me, I'd have been, whoa. And Balaam goes, and you know the story, but the point is, God said no, and Naboth is invited to the palace, and Ahab gives him a proposal to do this, that, and the other, and Naboth said, no, it's not for sale. I inherited it. I'm keeping it. And the value in Naboth's mind was inheritance. It wasn't how big the piece of ground was. It was my inheritance. The Bible says the lions have fallen out in goodly places. I have a good inheritance. Some of you I'm talking to tonight in this building, you had a godly Christian inheritance. Hello? Others may not have had one. It's quite as vibrant or whatever. But if you had a godly inheritance, you had something priceless. Amen? Chapter 21, we read it, Ahab's reaction. He goes home, he's disturbed, and he refuses to eat. And Jezebel steps into the picture and consoles him and says, I'll get it for you. She's a manipulator. Don't be using people. I hate it when people try to use name dropping. You know, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. I've told you this so many times. When we moved here, the next week I said, I need a dry cleaners, you know, stop. I need to find out where the geography of the town is and all that. And I go into dry cleaners, and this lady spoke up very spunky. She said, I would have you to understand we don't give ministers a discount. And I said, I'll have you understand I don't want a discount. I'm not here begging you. I'm not here. I mean, there was a time when preachers, it might have been because the churches kept them poor, I don't know. But there was a time preachers, they'd go to gas station and get a discount on their gas. They'd go to grocery store and get a discount. They got discounts everywhere. And I think sometime maybe the merchants got tired of it and said, I'm cutting your spigot off. Are y'all with me? She is willing to stage the murder of a human being in order to gratify Ahab's desire. Do you get that? Willing to kill somebody. Do you remember several years ago I preached a sermon, They Say? Anybody remember that? Yeah. And I based the sermon on, there was a little restaurant down near Bill's Hot Dog Place, not in the mall area. A little one-horse Chinese restaurant opened up. And people went out and said some derogatory things about that restaurant, and they had to shut down because the news got out they were serving cat food and whatever, you know. Crazy. And they shut down. And it all was because they say. I mean, you've met them. They never tell you Bill said it or John said it. It's always they say. And sometimes we want to put the brakes on and say, who is they? We've all been there. Well, they say that he's not going to pastor much longer. There will always be somebody ready to rise up to hogtie you, to give you up. Amen? She said, I'll get the vineyard. Don't you worry about it. And she got it. The murder of Naboth, we move and came along. She developed this plan, set him up on high, and then have these liars say that he, you know, he blasphemed. How sad that is. Jezebel hated Israel's religion. Now she's using it to kill an innocent man. We don't read anything about Naboth fighting, resisting. Can you imagine the perplexity that's in his mind? They go haul him before the tribunal, and the conversation is going on, and two people lie, right, sitting right across the table, eyeball to eyeball with him. We heard him say thus and thus and thus, and the jig is up. I mean, he's gonna die. He knows he's gonna die. He's been set up. They take him out and stone him. How sad that is. And then when they do that, Ahab comes into the picture. In the face of totally unjust treatment, here was a man who had written on his brow, not for sale. Amen? Can I get a witness out there? Naboth was not flattered by Ahab's offer or his power or position. Principle meant more to Naboth than all the positions in the world. The principle. I know a man in Beaufort County, in Washington, North Carolina, that went to prison because he would not tell one lie. He was not a Christian. He was not a Christian. All he would have had to said was yes in a court of law. Under oath, people advised, just lie, make this one lie, make it a deception. And this man had written on his forehead, so to speak, I do not lie. And he pulled a year and a day in prison. Now, don't you know people come by and would have said, you're an idiot. But he laid his head down at nighttime, resting because he was honest, but even though at that time he's a Christian now. Hello? And at the end, Jezebel and Ahab paid a horrible price. Do you know, they paid a horrible price for that vineyard. Now the grapes aren't as juicy. Now the intrigue of it is not as rich. Why did we do that? Why were we so obsessed with this vineyard? Does that make sense to you? Why were we so, how did we get so blinded? That's what happens. Here's what the scripture says about Israel. They got what they wanted, but they got lean in the spirit. You can get what you want. By manipulation, by whatever, you can get it. At some point, you can say, I struck a home run, but you may not have struck a home run. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? See, Balaam had his price. Esau had his price. Judas and Demas had their price. But Naboth did not have a price. Joseph did not have a price. Jesus did not have a price. In the wilderness, the devil showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world. And right in the face of Jesus, the devil made a statement, a declaration. All these are mine. And Jesus never debated him and said, oh, you're wrong. Now, I know the scripture says in the book of Psalms, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I know that. But I know the devil spoke to Jesus and showed him the kingdoms of the world and said, all these are mine and I can give them to whom I will. And Jesus basically said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Not for sale. There's a website, I haven't been on it in a couple of years now, but it's real conservative Pentecostal people, and the name of the, at that time, I guess it still is, Holy Ghost Revival is the name of the website. Anthony Wynn, up in the mountains of Tennessee, and one of the cuts on his website is a song, Not For Sale. It's awesome. It's just an old country song, but it really sounds awesome. Am I wearing you out? Retribution. I'm a skim through. There's always going to be a price that you'll pay. The story doesn't stop there. It's the story of swift and terrible retribution. Jezebel went in and told Ahab, go take the possession. She felt good. I've done something clever. And it's yours, but it's not his. Ahab walks into the vineyard, and there's the stillness is broken by a voice. I recognize that voice. She turns and looks. There is that wild preacher. Ahab, am I talking? Suddenly, you know, the prophet's there, and Ahab goes, have you found me, O mine enemy? You understand? One of the most beautiful prayers that I've ever read and so forth is being read out was a few years ago, Paul Harvey printed it, wrote it, and read it over his broadcast. In Kansas City, the state legislator, they called on this minister to read the prayer. It's been a long time ago, but it swept across the church. Well, it was awesome. And this man stood up and he read this, he prayed this prayer, and it was put in print. And he said they used to call it homosexual, now they call it gay, and they used to call it, and it went on and on and on. And he had been forbidden to speak, use the name of Jesus, but he closed the prayer with the name of Jesus. It was awesome. You see, when you're weary, when you do wrong things, there will always be an enemy that will seek you out. Your conscience can be your best friend or your worst friend. Amen? Elijah said, I have found you. And just like the dogs, this is tough. Just like the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, so they will lick yours up. The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall at Jezreel. 3 years go by. Ahab goes to battle against Syria, and the Syrian king told him his forces, Ahab is the one I want. You know, don't worry about all the rest of them. That the king, Ahab, that's who I want. And a certain man drew a bow back and shot it at random, and it struck Ahab down, killed him. They took the chariot to Jezreel and prophesied, just prophetic utterances that were spoken 3 years earlier. Boom, 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 boom. There's the chariot. There's a dead man, blood all over the chariot. They get the water apparatus, whatever they're going to do. And here comes the dogs licking the blood up. Incidentally, did you see where the lady was mauled by two Great Danes? In maybe, I forgot what town, local in the area. She was jogging. And some of the bites went down into the bone. In her face and neck, and she's in critical condition in Greenville Hospital. So if you're jogging, he dies. They take the chariot to Jezreel and washed it out, and there's the dogs licking the blood. God does, the wheels of justice move slow, but they do move. And the reason why they move slow is because God's mercy is just, and he did spare Ahab. You remember that? I didn't read it, but he didn't spare him the ultimate sentence, but he spared, he said, it won't happen. It'll happen to your son worse than it happens to you. You remember it? Okay. What a price. Her son Joram was king over Israel. Jezebel's son, her grandson, Ahaziah, was king of Judah. And if I want to be loved, I'm going to have to hush up. Jehu comes up, and there are palace eunuchs around Jezreel. Jehu is anointed to be the swordsman. He had a job that I wouldn't want. He was ordained to clean the house. He was a murderer under God's divine direction. The chariot comes flashing in Jezreel. Jezebel sitting up on the window sill. And there are two or three eunuchs around. And Jehu said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And the eunuchs said, "We are." He said, "Throw her down." No mercy. No, and threw her down. And right by the wall of the palace at Jezreel, the summer palace, and her blood splattered, and here comes the dogs. Where's your manipulation at now, Miss Jezebel? Where's all your cunning strategy at now? You're dead. You're in eternity. Amen. I'm talking to you. So here, the Naboth stands for all that is pure and holy, a non-compromising, non-bending conviction, even if it meant death. He had the same spirit that Daniel had, that the three Hebrew children had. Would you stand with me tonight?